Film Podcast, and my name's Adam.
And I'm Jesse.
And we watched Middle Life this week.
That a came out. Treat.
That came out last year. I guess
It hasn't come out yet.
It hasn't come out, but they. Why does IMDb say 2025? Is it? It was at festivals.
Yeah. Festival.
So you don't call that that it's come out if it's only been at festivals.
I guess you would if you don't think it's coming out in theaters.
I guess that's true. That's a good point. And it was directed by Pavan Mundi.
Mm-hmm.
And we also watched Last Stop in Yuma County. It came out 2023, directed by Francis Galluppi.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead,
Jesse.
So this
is a special treat that we have Middle Life. We were contacted by a PR person and asked if we would like to see it. And because we love Canadian movies, the idea at least of Canadian movies, and we like to see things before they're released. That's kind of a cool thing. A movie that most people haven't seen, like you said, it played at festivals, and it comes out this weekend.
Oh,
if
really?
Anyone wants to see it, yeah. Thanks for reading the press materials.
I tried. I clicked the link, and it was dead. The link was dead. Didn't
the link
go anywhere.
Was also dead for me. Yes. I think it was in her email that it came out, that it comes out next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I wanted to read that. I didn't know what it was gonna be in there, but it didn't go anywhere.
No, it didn't. But this is a movie that was shot in Toronto and Los Angeles. It features a lot of Toronto. One special, very special thing that we're going to talk about, that I almost fell off my chair when it was mentioned. And it's a movie that I know it cost about $70,000. And when I read that, I was shocked that it was so little. And then I thought, you know what? That makes sense. But this is a movie that they made it with what they had. And it looks great because it's not an action movie. It's not about big things. It's about a relationship between two people, much like our podcast.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of times movies will say that they're rom-coms.
Yeah.
And I don't see the com in them
right.
at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of this genre.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed watching this movie. And I'm being genuine. I liked it. It was a fun watch. It made me laugh. It made me laugh out loud at some parts, which is very rare. So I had a good time watching it. I'm glad they gave us the pre-release copy of it.
And I think it's because they focused on the characters and the comedy rather than focusing on the romance. You knew the romance was coming, but the romance, unlike most romantic comedies, it kind of showed up. I guess you would say the characters realized it or talked about it, even though they'd probably realized it prior in the movie, at like the very end of the movie. It was something that you knew the whole time was coming, but then...
Now, before you talk too much about the very ending of the movie...
Right.
Let's try to do this one a little more professional. Most of the time, we're watching movies from 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And I assume anybody that's listening, too bad. We're going to spoil the shit out of them.
Yeah.
But for this one, it hasn't actually come out yet. We're doing something a bit different.
Right.
Actually watching a movie that hasn't been released. Let's try not to spoil too much of it.
No, I wasn't going to spoil any of that. I was just going to say that the problem with most romantic comedies is they build the comedy around the romance. So it's two people and they, like I think Patton Oswalt said, it's two people that are trying to fuck.
Yeah.
And everything gets in the way. But this is kind of the opposite. It's that two people who are becoming friends, and sex never really enters the picture in their friendship until much, much later. It's about how you They're not trying to fuck, almost actively not trying to fuck.
Yeah, so can you are you capable of doing a little synopsis without just going right to the very ending and how it ends? Or is, are
I
you
can
capable?
try. I can.
You try.
Everybody dies. No. A lady is she's driving in her car and she witnesses a car accident. She doesn't really save anybody, but she's there to call 911. And this guy who's in the car accident, he's a young man, and he wants to thank her. So well, they start hanging out a little bit, and they become friends. And she's spending more and more of her time with him, and she realizes that a lot of her life, because she's married and she has a young child, isn't about having fun and experiencing what Toronto has to offer. And she realizes that she likes spending time with this guy, and he likes spending time with her, and he's kind of they have lead opposite lives.
So the actress, the lead actress, do you know her name?
I knew it this morning.
Lea Faye Goldstein.
Okay.
And the guy, the lead guy, is Peter Dramanis. And he was just in Sinners.
Great.
Pretty big part in Sinners, not
Yeah,
just an
he was
extra.
the twins that he starred in the movie, right?
I thought he was the guy. I didn't think they were. Do you know they were twins? It's a
I
very
thought
they're.
he was the two twins, and then what they come in and they're like gangster guys, and
What? The main guy? The black
yeah,
guy? He's not the black
really?
guy.
Oh shit.
Oh, you're making a joke. Do you
I
actually
was
not
making
know
a
who he
joke.
is?
I did like I recognized him. He looked very familiar. When I was watching this movie, I thought I'd seen him a million times, but yeah, I do remember him from Sinners here.
Okay, who is he in Sinners then? Without your
He's
joke.
like the first guy who gets killed by the vampires. He's in the he's like a he's with a girl or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. So he's with a girl, and I'm assuming it's his wife, and I thought you thought they were twins.
I'm just joking about that.
I know you were joking, but that so it's the very beginning, and then he's the slave vampire that comes to the party with the evil vampire, the main vampire.
Oh right, yeah.
So he's
I
in
was
it.
thinking it was okay. I was thinking it was somebody. I thought he had an even smaller part.
No, he's a big bigger part. Yeah, they kill him at the beginning,
Okay.
but then he comes along with them and they play some music at some point, and yeah, so it's a fairly big part. So
Okay.
it was weird to see that guy, and then he's I guess those two are in a band together,
Apparently, I'd heard
which I
some of the
forgot
music when I used
the
to
name of it.
listen to, I think it was 102.1 The Edge. And he has like a really crazy singing voice, if you've ever heard their music. But I had no idea that it was these two.
July Talk. That's what
Yeah,
it's called.
July Talk.
Oh, you knew that already.
Yeah.
You're about to say it.
No, I knew it because I looked at their IMDb pages.
You can say things. You're allowed to.
Okay. But yeah, it was kind of crazy that they were in the same band, and I think this is they've done a few things together, like a few sort of movies and things. Apparently, Peter Dramanis is a cinematographer. He's done the cinematography for the Pavan Mundi's other films, I think.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Did you finish your synopsis? I was looking up the actress's name.
You cut me off at some point, but I think I got most of the points across. Everybody knows what happens at the end of a romantic comedy. But it's very funny up until that point, and it doesn't really get serious until the end of the movie as well, which I really like because you don't need all that emotional weight.
Yeah. I imagine, though, as a middle-aged man in your middle life with a wife and
Okay.
kids, like
Sure.
the woman in this movie, that this you could relate to some of this stuff.
I guess.
Okay, maybe not.
I guess you can relate to the fact that you're, I guess, encumbered. I wouldn't so much, like, when I was maybe, when I had smaller kids, maybe I could relate to the fact of feeling like you can't get out of the house and you can't do anything and your child is, you know, you're not hanging out with your child, you're just spending all of your time protecting them. And you and your wife or husband are both doing that, so you're not, you're just focused on that one thing. You don't feel like a person. You're more of a jail warden for this child. But yeah, I guess 10 years or so ago, I felt similar.
Okay.
And you know, you'd love to just go on an adventure.
Yeah. Would you? You actually?
I think an adventure for me would be like a small thing, like just going to the movies or something like that. It wouldn't be going to Los Angeles with no packing of bags or letting anyone know and, you know, basically giving all of your responsibilities a rest. So what do you think?
What do you think about the movie? Okay, so here's what I think about the movie.
I wasn't going to ask you that, but
that's exactly what you were going to say.
I was going to say, what do you think is a good synopsis of this movie?
Oh, yeah, it's a romantic comedy. But what I found more interesting about it was that the guy has a near-death experience at the beginning mm-hmm. of the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't put two and two together because she runs into him a few minutes later at a feast. He's at a feast. And
by himself.
He's by himself, which I didn't even realize until after the movie. I'm like, oh, that's him living every day like it's his last. I didn't get that. I honestly thought while I was watching it, I'm like, oh, he has friends that aren't there right at this moment.
Yeah.
But afterwards I thought more about it. And also, he's so confident. He's the most confident man in the world. He stops her and he says, hey, give me your phone. Let's get a drink together. Like, I'm just like, wow, this guy is awesome. And then they go on an adventure, a mini adventure when they do go out together. And he's just the life of the party. He's like, let's jump into this house party and let's do this. And honestly, I was watching it thinking like, Jesus, how is this guy the most charismatic, confident guy, plumber, the most confident, charismatic plumber on earth?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until a little bit later that I put two and two together. And I was like, oh, it's because he had this near-death experience and it's changed his life and it's changed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's acting differently. He's acting crazy. He's going on adventures to LA without any plans. Mm-hmm. And it's because his life has changed because of that setup. And I guess it's smart enough that it trusts you to figure that out on your own. They don't really spell it out.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you probably didn't even get that till just now, right?
I didn't. No, I thought he was always like that. I didn't. You're shedding more light on the movie.
Well, I that's kind of how I felt about it. And I could be wrong because at one point she does say something like your whole personality is bullshit.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, well, maybe he is just like this all the time. But then I didn't like the whole thing with him eating a giant feast at the restaurant by himself.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about bucket lists and all that, too,
he's
right?
He's talking about bucket lists. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's an ongoing theme. And I think that it made it more believable to me that he would be that. Like, he's like, let's crash a house party. I'll pretend like I'm a voiceover, like all that stuff. I'm like, come on, who's like this in real life? But then I was like, oh, it's because he's just had this experience that's changed him. And now he's not afraid to do crazy shit like that and meet up with married women. And that's how I felt about it.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. And the intention was just, no, he's just like this. He's just the coolest plumber ever.
I think even if he was the coolest plumber ever, I think he's obviously taken it a step further since his near-death experience.
Yeah.
However cool he was before, he's even cooler and more unhinged.
Yeah.
And I think I hadn't even thought of because it was because of his near-death experience.
Yeah.
That's
Well,
a
that's
good
what I
one.
thought. I thought there, it was a, yeah, it was a pretty good movie. Pretty good.
Well, now this is something, and I know we've watched, I don't know, almost 500 films now, 499 films. Have we talked about chemistry between actors on this podcast?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know if we have, but this is excellent chemistry between these two actors.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel like these people have become friends. And it
yeah.
could be because they've known each other for, I don't know, 10, 20 years, whatever it is. But they do, you don't see them as being people who know each other already. Like, they don't seem very similar. Or they don't seem like they're like familiar with each other, but they have this great chemistry.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that for a movie of this scale, if you're going to have not much else but them kind of hanging out, you really have to have two people with incredible chemistry to make the movie like this good. So I applaud them for that.
No, I agree. They did well. I kind of liked her acting with she's kind of got a, like, you can't really tell what's going on in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the most outgoing guy. And he's saying, like, let's get together. Let's have a drink. Hey, you saved my life and
mm-hmm.
I got to pay you back. And she's kind of just like, okay, a bit reluctant because she
mm-hmm.
is married and she does have a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's like, okay, let's do it. And then when they go out on their date, then he's like, where's your wedding ring? And she's like, oh, I had to get it. You're just kind of, you have to figure it out. And then later on, they show you, she puts her wedding ring back on.
Yeah.
She was out there. She was looking to, she was looking to party. I think.
Yeah, I think that was her kind of living almost sort of like a fantasy of going on a date. I don't know if she expected that, like, when she took off her wedding ring before the date, if she was really thinking, like, oh, I may, you know, have sex with this guy.
So,
I think
your
she was
wife
more...
went out with some guy and took off her wedding ring before the meeting.
Okay.
And then put it back on after
he
goes home with some other girl. You would think, that's cool. She had no intentions.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think that. No, I would say that she was open to the idea. I wouldn't say she had intentions, but I would say there was definitely an openness to that.
Yeah. I would say it's the same thing.
I don't know.
I think she was ready to go through with it.
Yeah, I think it was a possibility. Sure, in this movie, for sure, yeah. But I think it was her just sort of like, I'm gonna pretend like I'm not married for a night and see what happens. But I don't think she was really, either way, like, expecting something to happen.
All right. That's weird. You're giving her the pass.
I'm not giving her a pass at all. I think she would have had sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to say that.
Well, I just think if her husband had been aware of that, he might not have liked it so much.
No, and when her husband becomes aware of a lot of this stuff, he's like, when she says, like, yeah, we hung out with the baby. He was like, whoa, the baby? Come on. Not the
baby. Is that a line that you totally identify with that you're like, oh, you can't do that?
I think, I don't know if it's just me, but yeah, I think it's supposed to be like the husband is like, okay, this is different than just a couple people hanging out. These are people, like, now you've become part of the family. Now you're in the getting into the worming your way into the family.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of stuff I can't relate to because I don't have kids and I don't have a wife. So I can't relate to, that's the line. I get the whole she took off her wedding ring. I get that. I can understand that. But the whole he gets upset with the baby.
Yeah.
He's met the baby. Yeah. And then he gets upset about that. And you totally identified with that.
Well, I think it's because if you're friends with somebody, that's kind of a different sphere. Like that's a different circle. And then if you bring your another member of your family into that, that's different. That's no longer just you. That's you and the family. I guess you and the you, that's bringing somebody into your family orbit rather than them just being on the outside.
What if he had kids? Would then it be okay?
If
I think it'd be less. It would upset you less.
I'm not upset. Why am I upset? I'm not upset. I'm just saying this is what happened in the movie, and this is kind of where you saw a guy where you saw a guy realizing that he thought a boundary had been crossed.
Right.
Her husband.
So my question is, if that guy had had kids and the same scenario had played out, would it have been the boundary that you don't cross still?
Yes. I think if when they involved, when she brought the child into it, or if he brought his kids into it, I think that would have been, that would have been the same thing.
I can't see it from that point of view. I would think that if he had kids and she had kids, the kids were just playing together.
I guess if the kids were friends first, that would be one thing, but they were friends first. So instead of bringing them into the kid with the kids, it's bringing the kids with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's complicated, I guess. As a parent, you want to protect your children and you want you to be the person that they rely on. But when another person comes into that can upset that dynamic.
All right. What else would you like to say, Jesse?
The funniest thing in this movie, and like I said, I almost fell off my chair.
Oh, okay.
Why? Go ahead. What were you
no,
say?
I was going to say my favorite part, but I'm going to have to tiptoe around it so I don't spoil it. It's the funniest part in the movie. But so you around it. I'll know what you're talking about.
There's a certain place that he wants to go, and it's somewhere, it's something that I said. He says something to her exactly the same way I said it to people at work when I wanted them to go there.
Yeah, I can't. You're tiptoeing. I can't figure it out. I don't know what you're saying. Spoil it.
Okay, so he says, have you ever been to Pizza Hut Buffet?
She's like, yeah, no. Yeah.
And he goes, it's back. And that's exactly what I said at work, because Pizza Hut Buffet had shut down during COVID, like all buffets. And I was talking to people at work and I was like, you guys want to go to Pizza Hut Buffet? And they were like, no, Pizza Hut Buffet, is there still Pizza Hut Buffets? Like, I thought all the buffets were closed. I thought Pizza Hut Buffet was gone like 10 years ago. I was like, no, it's back after COVID. And then they went without me.
Oh, ouch. I'm sorry.
I guess I wasn't around that day or something. Anyway, but it's exactly the same thing that I said. It's back.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the funniest. And they went to like the only Pizza Hut buffet, which is near my house. They went there and it was hilarious. And there was like a lot of these shots too. I like that they went to all these places and they couldn't have had permits. So they must have just went, like, walked into a No-Frills and started shooting, and walked into the Pizza Hut buffet and started shooting. Like, there's no way they shut down a No-Frills or a Pizza Hut buffet.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. What's your favorite part?
It made me laugh out loud when there's a certain character who walks out. They're in a hotel. And a certain character walks out of the bathroom wearing a bathrobe. I just thought that was hilarious.
And a hairnet.
Yeah, and a hairnet.
And a shower, sorry, shower cap.
It's great. It was great. It was so, because right before that, you'd seen the look on everybody's face. And you're like, you can't say no to this guy. And
yeah.
then, yeah, it was great. It was...
He was going to do them a solid, and they were like,
yeah, exactly.
Wow,
you couldn't.
Know, we have to.
And they're like, what time do we get there? Or whatever
but
he says.
I still thought that they were going to say, like, they weren't going to do it. I thought that they were just going to skip over the part where they said no, and it was going to be, and that made the reveal so much funnier.
That's probably why it was better, because they revealed it in the way that you didn't know exactly how the response was. Yeah, it was great. There was funny lines in this. There was the line about, you don't have to really believe in God, do you? No, it doesn't matter. I don't know if you remember that.
I wrote that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they said to me when I was getting married at a church.
Yeah. And there was stuff that I thought, am I relating to this because I lived in Toronto for 10 years, or mm-hmm. is it Canadian, or is it, and I lived in the same, I went to the same university as the director. Is that mm-hmm. why I'm relating to some of these things? But I don't know. It was, yeah, maybe. The Pizza Hut thing was one for sure. There was other ones that I didn't write down.
Yeah, there was, like, I recognized almost every single place in this movie, which is, I think, for people in Toronto, is it just shows off, like, what a cool place it is to make a movie. It's all interesting things. Like, he picks out a lot of really interesting places to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most people haven't seen all of the city, and it's like, oh, I wonder where that place is.
Another line made me laugh. Can we go, let's go on an epic adventure. Can I be back by 3:30? That made me laugh.
Oh, I love it when they show up to the church and she's not there. And she says, that bitch better be dead.
Yeah.
That was a great line. Or when he goes, when the guy's telling the story and he's like, the actor that was playing my landlord, and that gives away his whole story. That was a great line.
I don't remember that line.
The guy who you realize that he's messed up. And that was kind of the first thing he says that was messed up.
Yeah, he says a bunch of messed up stuff, which was funny. It was,
but that,
yeah,
was
that was
like
a whole
the first
funny
thing
scene
that gave it away. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I think it was just an incredible use of what you had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And just making a movie that shows off the city, that shows off these people's chemistry, and none of that costs any money, really.
Right.
And I think that's that's how you make a cool Canadian movie.
Well, I hope it does well. What did you read? When's it coming out? This weekend? But, like, where is it coming out?
No idea. Hopefully lots of places, but I have no idea. I guess I'll look for it. Maybe it'll come out in Regina. Who knows?
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see more information about it, to know. Because it's a small budget, low budget movie that I think is pretty well made, that it won't get attention
because mm-hmm.
they do not have the marketing budget for it. And that's why they're asking people like you and me to talk about it, frankly. And so we might get one more guy to...
It's playing in Coburg.
I hope it's playing in
Northumberland Mall cinemas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I hope he does well. It's got to be tough to figure out how to make a movie like this and get it out there.
Yeah.
And pay everybody that works on it. Like,
I don't think any, for $70,000, I don't think anybody was paid.
Well, you're thinking of the actors. And I
no,
bet you,
I'm thinking of, like, the crew.
It's got a huge list of crew. Like, it's not, I mean, it's a giant list of people. Like, you don't, mm-hmm. I don't think they all work for free. I wouldn't be surprised if the director and the actors, okay, well, maybe, I don't know. Would they work for free? I don't know.
Yes, they would work for free.
Yeah. All right. Would you work for free?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's because we love movies, man.
Yeah. I would just, if I was just in a movie in any way, I would do it for free. Or if they just said, like, you can.
You're still thinking of the actors. I'm thinking about, like, what
No,
if they
no,
were
that.
asked you to be like craft service? Could you go
Yeah.
bring people coffee on the sets? I don't know.
Yeah.
At this
No,
age, I
that's.
don't think you would.
If I could, like, if they said, like, this is a cool movie, you can do anything, whatever you can do, we'll let you do that. I would say, okay. Can I also just be in the background of a scene? That's all I would say.
Oh, okay. So you're bargaining. So
No,
that's
I
sort
would
of
just
a
say
payment.
I'll do anything you want. I'll just walk by in the background. That's
What
it.
if they were just like, no,
I'll
sorry.
still do it. Fine. You drive a hard bargain. We have a scene that's shot in Rogers Center with 50,000 people, but we can't squeeze you in.
Did they have a scene like that?
No,
Oh.
but I'm just saying
Oh.
because they'd have 50,000 people.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't, and they didn't use the obvious places either. Like they didn't use the CN Tower. They didn't use Ripley's Aquarium, I don't think. Or they didn't use the Rogers Center, which you could just go and outside of and film if you want. But they used a lot of little cool places.
I don't know if this director has any tie to Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. But I heard people talking about it with him, so I don't know if there's any connection there, or if it just happens to be a Canadian movie coming out that are both like a popular Canadian movie coming out. I don't know.
When I was on IMDb, somebody, I don't know if it's Peter, what's his name? I think he was in it.
Oh, maybe that's the connection. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if Canadian movies and crew and people talk to each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just heard, it's so funny because it literally an hour ago I was listening to them review it on the Empire podcast. They're talking about Nirvana, the band,
Oh,
the movie.
okay.
They gave it 5 stars,
Really?
which is huge. They don't give that out lightly. So they gave it 5 stars, and one guy was just like a naysayer, and he was just like, but everybody else was on board saying it was great. And
Awesome.
yeah, I'm happy to see that because I loved it. And I 100% word of mouth, because Victor Lucas reviewed it on his podcast, and I never would have heard of that movie unless
Yeah.
you told me about it. But otherwise, if it wasn't for me watching his channel. So there you go. Like he's got a small audience, right? Victor Lucas has a small audience, but you reached me, and then I've been talking it up. I loved it. I hope word gets out there for that one too, because it's pretty cool.
It's made a decent amount of money, actually.
Yeah. Well, they're
And it,
reviewing it in England and giving it 5 stars. So
yeah,
it's getting good word of mouth.
the Big Picture is a very popular podcast. They reviewed it. They said it's one of the best movies of the year as well.
Really? That's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, it's
That's
getting
great.
out there.
Well, I don't know if there's any connection or if it just happens to be another Canadian film coming out.
Yeah, I know somebody's in it because I was looking on IMDb and I was like, oh, Nirvana the band, the movie.
Well, look it up during the break.
I should. I could. I would.
Well, anything else before the break?
I don't think so. Unless you have, what do you have? I actually, how much time do we have? Yeah, let's talk about. Have you seen the new He-Man movie?
I did. I just saw it, yeah.
What do you think?
I had fun watching it.
Yeah, I had fun too. I'd heard it was terrible. And like from people's description of it and talking about it, it seemed like the stupidest mix of like he's in Earth and then he's over here and he becomes He-Man and he's this and he doesn't really it, there's no transition from Adam to He-Man and it doesn't make any sense. And I was like, it doesn't, it's not the greatest movie ever. But
No.
it does, nothing doesn't make sense. And it looks good. Like, I thought it would look shitty. It
Okay.
looks good.
I thought it looked good. I thought it was fun. I thought it was definitely did not take it serious. It didn't take itself serious at all, which is great because this is it's based on a stupid cartoon from the 80s, where they had characters named Fisto. Like they were clearly making it was all to sell act. Like at this point, I don't know who you're listening to review it, but I was listening to like 30, 40, 50-year-old people review it,
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just like, you guys gotta lighten up, man. It was just a fun action movie, and like,
Yeah.
yeah, I had fun. My expectations were low, and it doesn't do anything for my childhood. Like, it doesn't bring back. I don't remember anything about He-Man at all. I haven't watched it in
Oh.
40 years. So
Okay.
maybe the guy with the Cyclops head thing on his head, maybe that action figure I remember. And like, I owned a ton of the action figures, but still, like, I remember listening to Adam and Matt talk about it 5, 6 years ago on their podcast. And they were just like so excited that the possibility was going to come up for this. And they were casting all the characters. And I'm like, how do you guys remember any of that? Like, I couldn't remember anything from that. Maybe the cat. Maybe that's all I could remember. There was a big cat that he rode around.
Yeah, I remember, like, I remember that the show was on, but it kind of, like, by the time I became aware of it was kind of over. And the action figures had already kind of all come out, and they were kind of a little bit old by that time. But I do remember having, like, a sliming thing.
Okay.
That it was like, I don't know if it was like Castle Grayskull, and yeah, I think I had a Castle Grayskull, and it you poured like that. Remember that really old slime that they had back in the 80s
All right.
that was
No.
really just disgusting, and it just got like everywhere. I
Okay.
guess it's like the slime they have today, but it was just awful. And I remember my mom only let me use it once. Because of that disgust, or like the slime once you're supposed to like pour it in something and it falls on the guy in the Castle Grayskull. I don't know. All right, let's go on to our next movie.
Okay.
Last stop in Yuma County. You've seen this before we saw it for the podcast, correct?
Correct.
And I believe you recommended it to me that
I
we
might
should do it
have.
on the podcast.
Yeah, I definitely said that. Yeah.
Why did you recommend it?
I don't know. I just remembered I kind of enjoyed it, and I couldn't remember exactly what happened in it. So that was it. Why? You got an opinion? Think I did something wrong?
No, I have lots of opinions. I think it's very good. I think it's a lot like another movie that we saw, The Frontier, for this podcast.
Yeah, that might have been
And
reminded me of it.
I think this is much better. And it's funny how it's not like huge differences. It's mostly a one location movie. It's mostly about kind of characters coming together for some kind of crime thing, and everybody wants the money. And the frontier, I didn't really like that much, but this movie I really do like. So there's it's just the little things with direction and casting and I guess how they planned out the movie and the performances in it. Those little things make a big difference.
Yeah,
They're
and I
two
think
movies that are very similar.
the guy that Jim Cummings was just in a movie we watched. Redux, Redux. And I think that reminded me of this movie. That was it.
Okay. What other movies has he been in?
Thunder Road.
I think I've seen that. I can't remember though.
We just had this conversation when I saw him, but that's what reminded me about this movie.
So what do you feel watching for the podcast? What do you think? Better, worse than you remember? The same?
It was fun. It was the same. I couldn't remember how they ended up at the end of the movie with a giant explosion. I thought that's what happened. I knew they were at a diner, and I couldn't even remember if Jim Cummings was the bad guy or not. I couldn't remember how it played out, but I just remember there was a lot of tension. Characters come into this diner. There was some reason that they had to keep coming there. And so watching it again, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, there's a gas truck that's late. So, and then Jim Cummings, he's so suspicious looking. He's so suspicious looking in everything. The other movie, Redux, he looked suspicious to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they even look at him at one point and say he looks like the guy from Psycho. So it's not just me.
He's almost too normal. I know a guy like that. Mm-hmm. I know a guy like that who's so normal, like so regular looking, that people think he's suspicious.
Yeah. Even the cop that looks over at him at the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looks back at the cop, he's just like, what? It looks like he's caught off guard. And the cop just nods at him. I think they must have written it in a way that you're supposed to suspect he's up to something.
Yeah.
When the rest of the movie goes on and he's not up to anything. He's just a salesman.
It was written for him. Yeah. It was written for him and a few of the other actors. I believe the main lady that's in it. I think Richard Brake, also the main bad guy. Mm-hmm. That was written for those three at least. And then maybe Gene Jones, the old guy, who was in, of course, No Country for Old Men and Stand Up at Sparrow Creek. I think they might have written it for him as well. Maybe not. Or maybe the sheriff guy.
For him? What does that mean? Written it for him?
Well, so when they were writing whoever was writing the movie, they were like, okay, the knife salesman's going to be Jim Cummings, and this is what he brings to the role, so we're going to write it like you were saying. Like,
I mean, you hear that stuff all the time, but then how do you think they could just call those people up and say, you're going to be in my movie? And they went, yes, sir. I mean,
well, I know in the case of Richard Brake, they knew him. So they knew that he would probably at least entertain doing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cummings, I'm not sure if they knew him or not. But they probably knew a few of these people and they thought, okay, we'll write it. We'll see if they can get them. And then you could always get somebody else if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But they got at least a few of the people that they wrote it for.
Right.
And that it probably helps to be able to tailor it. Like you said, Jim Cummings is kind of perfect because he looks like he's up to something, but he's really not.
But I don't know if that was intended or not. I don't know. Because it's not, you find out right at the beginning that he's not up to anything. He's just a nervous looking guy.
Yeah.
He's a suspicious looking, nervous looking guy.
Yeah. So maybe it's not so much that he's up to anything. It's that how is he going to handle this?
Yeah, and I guess you're right. That's how is he going to handle it, and that doesn't get explained until the end of the movie. How is he going to handle it, right? So I guess that's true. So yeah, the fact that he's nervous, twitchy, and suspicious looking helps when the movie goes the way it goes.
And it's not as obvious as I thought it would be. Like the first scene with the sheriff, I was like, I know this guy. This is a shitty character. This is a stupid character that I hate, the bumbling sheriff.
Right.
And he's going to come in and screw everything up. And Jim Cummings is going to have to save the day because he's going to do a shitty job and probably cost people their lives.
Okay.
And it was the exact opposite. He looked stupid and then he showed up and he had everything under control.
Yeah.
He was asking the questions that nobody asked. And he was looking at evidence and he's like, yep, there was a guy here because there's gas here and he must have left. And was that car there before
when
you got here? Because that's the car from the thing. And I was like, holy shit, like this is not the character that was set up. And I don't know if that was intentional. I think it was to throw you off. And
right.
I thought that was great because most of the time they just would have continued with that writing. And made it that shitty stock character of the bumbling sheriff.
That probably helped why I liked it, because it's all about your expectations, and it plays with your expectations, and it keeps you guessing right until the end which way it's going to go. And and I like movies like that, so did a good job.
Yeah, those, and getting back to like the budget stuff, like none of those things cost anything. Right. Like you can write these things into a movie and do more drafts of the movie, and figuring out a better way to tell a story and a better way to make characters doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
Like, you write a blowing up a fuel truck. Yeah, that's going to cost you, I believe they said, $50,000 out of their $1 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it cost what? 1/20th of the budget just to blow up that fuel truck at the end. Like, that cost you something, but making that sheriff character better, making Jim Cummings' character better, casting it properly, that doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I think make this movie a good contrast to The Frontier, which I don't think it was cast as well. I like the characters weren't as good. The plot wasn't as good because I couldn't tell who knew who and who didn't know who and why these people all seem to know about the money, but then some of them couldn't have known about it. And
yeah, and, I think we disagreed on The Frontier. I don't.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We disagreed on it, but I maintain that for the movie that it was overly complicated. It was hard to follow. And this movie was a very, very similar, but I think much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
Just a better thought out, better laid out, better made movie all around.
Yeah. Well, I just don't remember it being that hard to follow.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was just me. I don't know.
Could have been.
Do you think this movie's better than The Frontier?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
End of conversation. No, what else, man?
I don't know. What's been going on with you this week?
Stuff. Cleaning up. Mm-hmm. Nothing special. I watched Disclosure Day.
Okay.
I wanted to mention that. It's fucking great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Check it out. Spielberg does it again.
Yeah.
You can't miss that guy. He's a master filmmaker. He might be the best filmmaker of all times. And I'm probably not... a unique statement that I'm making.
Yeah.
But as I'm watching it, I'm like, there's a reason he knows exactly what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't really know what a set piece is, but I think there was some great set pieces. Even though I don't know what that means.
A set piece is a sequence that usually involves action and like a lot of things going on, something very complicated.
It's got a dumb name. Set piece.
Yeah.
How does that name equal what you just said?
I don't know, but that's what it is. It's a battle scene. It's Tom Cruise out on the Burj Khalifa building, climbing it like Mission Impossible. They always have a bunch of set pieces in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, but what does it mean to be the set? Does it have something to do with it's a piece of the set? I don't get it. It's dumb.
I don't know. That's the
worst name.
That's what it's called.
I think it has some great set pieces in Disclosure Day. But honestly, right up until the end, I was just glued to the screen.
Mm.
And then it had me thinking, like, why? How does this guy take an idea like this and have me glued to the screen the whole way through the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just great at telling a story, a filmmaker, just the best.
He's definitely right up there. It's hard to argue that he's not on the Mount Rushmore of filmmakers.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Odyssey?
No.
Not yet. Okay. Are you now? This is what I've heard from people, is that they're waiting to see it on a good screen. Is that what you're? And by a good screen, I don't mean like their phone or a TV or no, but I mean, instead of like a normal theater screen, they're waiting to see it in IMAX. Or apparently there's like the 70 millimeter IMAX, which is what it was made for. Not just the regular IMAX, the special IMAX, which I think there's only 40 of them in the whole world or something like that.
And I have one less than a kilometer away from me right now.
Is it playing The Odyssey?
Yes.
Awesome.
Will I watch it there? No.
Why not?
Because I watched the other one that he made, Oppenheimer.
Okay.
In IMAX at that theater, and it was
Okay.
It's a special thing, like you said, 40 of the real ones in the world. This is one of them. And I went and saw it, and I was sitting in the second last row.
Yeah.
Even that was too close to the screen. I needed to go to the very last row, and
yeah.
I'm sure it wouldn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
It's too
Probably
fucking
not.
big.
Yeah.
I had to like crank my head in every direction, and there's definitely, it's just so, I'm like, I actually want to see this on a normal movie theater screen.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that again because it actually lessened my enjoyment of it. Isn't that weird? People are
Yeah.
like, I'm going to wait around for this special IMAX screen, but.
Yeah. It's strange because some of them like are, like you said, they're too big. Like I've seen, I don't know, probably 4, 5, 6 different IMAX screens. Maybe whatever it is. And the one at the theater near me is just a normal screen that they're saying is IMAX and they're just lying.
Right.
Which is fine. Whatever. Lie about it. There's the ones that are at downtown. I think it used to be the Scotiabank Theater. It's probably something else now. Those ones are too big. But then there's one in Whitby that's amazing. It's got like the rows really, really steep going up, and like the screen is the perfect size. It's just an absolutely perfect screen. It's like, why don't you just make one IMAX screen that everyone can agree on?
Yeah, I guess it's your seating is really limited to the space that you have that you're fitting your movie
Yeah.
theater into.
I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Is yours like a domed screen, or what's it like? What makes it so hard to see?
I couldn't put my finger on it. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a curve. I don't know if it's curved or not.
Are you like looking up? Or
yeah, you're looking up. You're
are
looking
you like
up.
Tilted back kind of?
I don't know if you're tilted. I can't describe it. All
Yeah.
I can tell you is that I purposely went and saw whatever movie I just said in that IMAX theater because I'm like, this is going to be the best. And it's so close to me.
Yeah.
And I sponsored them. I put a sponsorship in for the getting the lasers or whatever special thing for their crazy theater. And I'm like, I'm definitely going to see this movie.
Yeah.
And then I just remember in the second last row, and I'm having to look up and to the left to see somebody's face to focus on their head. And I'm like, I can't do this. It's awkward. It's so,
yeah,
if I ever try it again, I'm going to go to the last row, but I'm like, that can't be right. That there's only one row in the thing that you can see it in, but that place will be sold out for like a month.
Yeah.
I saw a headline that said that it was people were coming from all over to see it in this theater.
And, I would imagine, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how many people go back for repeat viewings. If they're like me, they probably won't.
Or maybe they want to have a screen that they actually have to move their head to see different things. Maybe that's part of the, for some people, maybe that's part of the thing. Like, I can't even take this in. This is so much. I don't know. There must be some reason that they're making screens that big.
No idea.
I'm with you. I like a nice big screen, but sometimes it's too big.
Well, I want to be able to tell what's going on. Like you just said, I couldn't tell what was going on in a lot of the Oppenheimer scenes because I'm having to look way over to the left to get a focus on somebody's face. And then you're like, well, there was somebody in the other corner of the screen that was talking to him. And I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
So it seems like a waste because, you know, it's going to be a Chris Nolan movie. It's going to have crazy action. There's going to be lots of scenes. There's going to be lots of cuts. There's going to be lots of dialogue. You're going to have to be paying attention. It's going to be Tenet, where it's like, if you stop paying attention for half a second, you're lost. You're completely fucking lost. And then they put it on this giant screen where you actually can't get a control over what's going on. So if I do see it in the theater, I'll probably see it in a normal movie theater and I'll enjoy it more, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not, you'd much rather see it in a normal movie theater than in the comfort of your own home.
I would, but I'm pretty lazy these days, so I don't know if I will, but I would. They come out so fast that it's like, I would have seen that if it was still in the theater a month later.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know it was out until you just said that. Like, that's how I'm not paying that close attention. Mm. And yet they sell these movies and then they go, we know exactly what it's done in the first weekend. And they basically pick the date right then that they're going to release it on streaming on Thursday. And and so by the time it's out, I'm like, oh, I can just watch it at home. I don't think I'll bother going to the theater to see it.
Yeah, I think The Odyssey is going to be in theaters for a while because it's had a pretty good hold from last week. And it's also on the biggest screens possible. And that's where people want to see it. So I think it's going to be sticking around for longer than most movies.
I'll try to get out and see it, yeah.
Why not?
And you? What's your opinion? You asked the question.
Yeah,
are you waiting for something?
I'm probably going to see it with my friend Marlon sometime this week, hopefully. But we're going to go see it last week, but the schedules didn't work out. But yeah, I want to see it on a decent screen.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. What else is going on in your life?
No, not much. Just waiting to get my carpet. As you see the pile of stuff behind me. It's always, I find whenever there's something I have to do, like I had to get all the books and stuff off of the shelves and all the DVDs and everything packed up. And then I had to, like, we had to pack up my son's room and everything. I find that these tasks always seem insurmountable before I do them.
Right.
Like, I put this off for probably a year, getting this carpet.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I gotta empty all those fucking shelves.
Yeah.
And then I gotta do this. And then and it took like literally 2 hours.
Yep.
Yeah. Of my life. And the whole time I had something on the TV and my son was helping me and it wasn't that bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it took me longer to buy new shelves and a new entertainment unit for when we get the new carpet, just so we don't have to, you know, take everything out twice or whatever, just kind of do everything at once. It took me longer to do that than it did to like do all the packing up and everything.
Right. I'm with you. I definitely felt like when I got back from Croatia that I was overwhelmed by how dirty my place was getting, how I couldn't stay on top of it. And I'm like, I've had a life-changing trip. I need to get stuff in order because this stuff has been piling up for years, years, and it's getting ahead of me. It's getting to the point that I can't live my life anymore and I gotta do something about it. So fortunately I did and made lots of progress. And
there you go.
Yeah. Now I just gotta made you a bet and gonna have to start eating normally. Not like a dick. Hopefully I'll still keep up the energy. That's all it's about, Jesse. It's about your energy level.
In what way?
When you look at a big task like that and you're like, oh my God, it's going to take me so long. And I'm exhausted just thinking about how long it's going to take me and I'm going to do it wrong. And I'm just too tired. I got too much else. That's what it's about. When you have tons of energy and you're just like, well, let's just get it done. Let's get it done right now. And I'll just run around and I'll get it all done. And
yeah,
so it's a big difference. And
It's a psychological thing. Even things that I've done, like you said, like cleaning your house or something, right? Like I've done that, I don't know, 100,000 times, whatever it is. Every time I'm like, fuck, like this is going to be ridiculous. And then it takes, you know, like an hour to clean the floors or whatever it is. But you put it off and you're like, fucking, this is ridiculous. Like, I just don't get how after 1,000 times, it's still the same. I still feel the same.
Yeah.
You would think, like, I know it's going to take, like, an hour to sweep, vacuum, mop, everything, and then I'm going to be able to enjoy the rest of my day.
Well, Do you not see what I'm saying? What's about your energy level? Like, if you knew that it was only going to take you an hour, would you be like, okay, I'm going to get it done? Or
I
seem
feel
so
like it's
daunting?
more, it seems like it's going to take more time.
Okay. All right.
Like, that's for me, that it's not so much about the energy. It's about, like, I feel like this is going to take up so much of my valuable.
What are you doing with your
exactly,
valuable time?
Exactly.
That's
exactly
what
nothing
would you be doing exactly
nothing
so do you not see the difference is that you'd sooner be spending your time doing nothing than doing something and
that's the whole thing. Why is that?
Because you don't have the energy. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it's energy.
Okay, it's not
for me.
You're full
maybe
of energy
for you. Yeah, it's not energy for me.
Okay.
It's the commitment of the time.
Right. Because you'd sooner be spending your time doing nothing.
Yes.
Which takes no energy at all.
You keep coming back to energy. For me, it's not energy.
All right.
I have the energy. I just don't want to take the time.
Okay.
The time seems like it's going to be way longer than it is. It's not for me. It's for you. Okay, I get it.
Well,
for you, it's
I
the energy.
Why? Just explain to me why. I don't know how you can say it. I don't.
Because whenever I think about it, I'm like,
let's say it's going to take you 6 hours to do it.
Yep.
So what?
That's 6 hours of me not watching movies or not hanging out with my kids or not doing whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not going for a walk, not doing this, not doing work on the weekends, whatever it is.
Okay.
But for me, no, it's I understand that for you it's energy. For me, it's just I just don't want to take that time. Even though I know it's not, like, I know rationally it's not going to take that much time.
All right. It's about time.
For me.
Okay.
I believe you that for you it's about energy. I'm not debating that.
All right.
But I got lots of energy.
Sure. Tons of energy.
Tons. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Do you want to do like a one movie for the 500th movie, or you want to do like a normal two movies? What do you want to do?
Two movies.
All right.
Pick them and let's go. Come on.
Okay. Would you like to do Clockwork Orange?
Sure.
Okay. No, fucking thing. Okay, so we got Clockwork Orange.
Okay. Come on, man.
I'm writing it down.
That's great.
Clockwork Orange. Ooh, actually, we can't do Clockwork Orange. Maybe we can.
I'm leaving all this in. I'm not cutting any of it.
That's fine.
If you want to edit, I'll give you this.
No,
files.
It's fine. Do you leave it in? And how about Prince of the City?
Okay, good. Done.
All right.
And done. I will
good.
See you next week.
Okay, goodbye.